We had an episode that we were planning on airing this week, but I think that we've all been hit very hard by the unexpected death of Kobe and Gianna and their friends and those beautiful families that lost their lives. And I just felt like maybe this would be just for you and I to kind of talk about why Kobe had such an impact on us as kids. You know, we grew up here in LA, between LA and Colorado, but really, you know, lived in LA predominantly our whole lives. And Kobe is really, and will always be, a huge, he's an LA superhero for us. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I just felt like maybe we should talk about what he meant to us. And
yeah, I mean, you knew him a little bit. I was lucky enough to meet him about 6 or 7 months ago, and it was in passing, but I've been a huge Lakers fan forever and ever and ever. And I think it's been hard for me to even accept it in a way. I don't know.
I think so too. I mean,
what to say? Well, it was so tragic to me, and I have yet. It hasn't. You know.
It's actually. I've written a lot of things down.
I don't even feel comfortable talking about it.
I know what you mean. I think the same thing, even about like posting and talking about posting. I was looking at Jimmy Kimmel talk about it, and I really thought what he did was a really wonderful thing, because I think that, you know, we know that when these tragedies happen, that life does and things have to go on. But it feels almost, you feel guilty when something of this magnitude has such a shocking, it's just so shocking that you kind of don't know what to do. You don't know what to say, or it feels self-indulgent to say something. It feels self-indulgent to post or talk about what you know. But totally. I will say this. I was listening to the father of Christina Mauser talking. He called in to the Today Show, and he did say one thing, and I think that sometimes we need to remember that showing support and talking about support and sharing our outpour of support for these families is helpful, because what he said was that his young girl, they finally turned on the news. They were all in bed together. And she did say that she felt, did feel better that everybody was mourning and feeling with them. And so I think that to talk about it is to honor the memory of these families and these people lost, is for the families to know that we are all feeling their sadness. It's not just about Kobe and Gianna. It's about all of these families. It was so tragic. And I think it's important to share our own experiences and just get it out there. And I know for me, I kept saying, like, to myself, I wrote a lot down. I was trying to write some kind of something on my Instagram to show. I just couldn't find the words. I think there's a lot of people out there who feel the same way. But when I did write down, I wrote down so much. It brought up so much. And one of the things I was feeling was that there was no respite. Like, the tragedy just doesn't get better. It just feels terrible. And why is this is so intense, you know, and it's not lost on me in any way that tragedy happens every day. It happens all over the world, and there's always tragedy happening. But it's also not lost on me that legends and icons, they're not built every day. They're not made every day. They don't come into our lives. I mean, maybe in a generation, you are able to see a couple iconic beings come into light that will stay with you forever. Kobe was a true icon, and in every sense of the word. And I have had personal experience with him many times, actually. I've been in his presence many times, and we've even had dinner together. We played piano together. I've been able to reflect on some real meaningful conversations, playful conversations. But I was thinking about him as a man. And when that man walked into a room, you felt every bit of his iconic presence. You could feel his dedication. You could feel his intelligence. You could feel his talent. You could see it. You could feel his God-given light. And I think a lot of people have said this, and I just concur that as someone who has been in the room, that he had that thing that you cannot, I mean, hopefully I put some of it into words, but it's hard to put into words. And no matter where he was at in his life or in what part of his life that he was in, he carried a presence that was deeply and profoundly powerful. When you see that, and then on top of that, the brilliance of his ability, when you realize like, oh, he is a modern day superhero. Mm-hmm. This is what a superhero is for us, right? We need them. We need them to feel like we can do anything. We look up to them. We witnessed this the other day when the kids were looking up to Tony Hawk. Mm-hmm. You see kids, they look at their icons in a way that makes them feel that anything is possible. So when someone like that is taken from us in such a tragic way, we feel so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And we recognize our own how precious and unpredictable life is, even for our favorite superhero.
It's hard for me to even, I don't feel worthy even talking about it. It's hard for me to even talk about it, only because who am I? You know, I mean, I go to this place of who am I to talk about sort of the tragedy of Kobe's passing. I mean, there are...
I can tell you, you're a fan.
I'm a fan, like there's so many people in his close circle family, Vanessa and the rest of the kids, and then everyone even around him who are really going through it right now. So it's hard for me to talk about, but you, by the way, that was beautifully said, extremely eloquent. I could never have done that. I don't have that in me right now. I feel like, again, I know it's a weird thing to say, but it's like, I don't feel right about sort of expressing myself. I don't know. It's weird. I will say this though. It's the first time, you know, when people say that it doesn't make sense, you know, I don't understand it. You know, the first time that I've experienced that feeling, I've had people die around me, but this was like, I still can't wrap my head around it. Like, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. And it makes me question God. I don't get it. Why? What does this do? Like, why did this happen? I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. It makes me question everything. Like, there is no rhyme or reason to life. It just happens. Were there mistakes made? We don't know. But it doesn't even matter if there were or there weren't. It just happens. Because you can't, how do you make sense of something like this? There are people who are, you know, who have done horrendous things, who will die a death in their deathbed, you know, and fall asleep and not go to jail or anything like that, who've gotten away with many, many things. Why are they still living? Why did Kobe Bryant and his amazing, you know, amazingly talented, beautiful best friend daughter die? Why? What good does this do if there is a God?
Right.
Well, you know, there's a frustration that I have and an anger of some sort or a confusion, but I don't know. I mean, you were very eloquent in what you said, and I'm glad you did because I can't. I can't do that. I mean, you knew him personally, so it's a little bit different. You can speak on it a little bit better, but again, I just don't feel like it's my place to talk about. You know, I don't know. I don't know why. There's just so many other people around him and in his center who are feeling things that I can't even possibly imagine. I can't even fathom it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's also something that, you know, you do look at and, you know, you do, it's your worst nightmare that you say goodbye to your loved one. And let us not forget, I mean, there, you know, the seven other people on this helicopter, you know, the suffering that is going on is, you know, something that unfortunately when that kind of thing happens, it's just unimaginable. And I think because Kobe is such a big light that it does put all of that into forefront and meaning that these kinds of tragic situations, they're just unexplainable. And what we do now, or what we can do, hopefully, is try to understand it and honor these people's lives and let all of the people that are living now who have to think about this every day and feel the loss every day, let them know they're not alone and that there is a community and a city and a national and even a global support bubble and love that is going out to them and hope that they find some sense of healing in this terrible time of grief. And I do want to touch a little bit on Kobe, just because the last times about a month ago that I saw him, we were both had kids at 24. We were both young parents. So LA, we're the same age. We both had kids young. And so every time we would meet or see each other or talk, it was always about the fact that we had kids. And so when we were younger, it was like all our friends, you know, didn't have kids and we had kids, you know. And any conversation I always had with him was always around, I mean, not always, you know, he's funny and he's sassy and he's poignant and he was engaged and he really, I mean, the most curious. I mean, he always asked so many questions and was interested in the business, even when he was in his height, the basketball. But his kids, I mean, it was everything to him. And the last time we spoke, we were talking about having teenagers and he's giving me some stories and what he did say about Gianna, which to me was just so beautiful, was he talked about her, how fierce she was, and her tenacity and her drive, and how proud he was that he wouldn't. He's like, and I remember he said, "It's like I'm not worried about Gigi." And I just thought, you know, it's important that not only that we talk about these things, but like that the girls know how much he loved him and that even people that he sat down with and had these evenings with, like all he talked about was his girls and how much he loved his girls. Like it was everything to him, you know?
You want to do, it's like you want to do something, but you can't. That's what I feel like. Like I don't know Vanessa or the kids, but I just want to like email her. Yeah. I think the whole world does. I just want to like help. You know, I want to like, yeah, I know. But I know that's unrealistic, but I don't know. It's funny. I haven't even looked at social media in there's a tribute on TNT today that I didn't watch. They replayed his last game last night against Utah, where he finished with 60.
Yeah.
You know, his last game, fucking scored 60 motherfucking points.
Yeah, I remember.
I mean, I watched that. I remember watching that game. I mean, I'm a rabid Laker fan. And, you know, I don't even want to see it. I'm not there yet. You know, I'm not there yet. And even, again, I just feel this thing like, you know, I guess we all have our own things. But I get tongue-tied and speechless because I don't know. I feel weird about it. I feel weird talking about it, honestly. I don't know. I just do.
I sent you something.
I didn't even see it.
Yeah,
I didn't
watch
it. It was with him and Odom. No, was it Odom? Odom made a beautiful post. LeBron made a beautiful post.
Yeah.
I mean, all these. I mean, I will read it. I will get into it. But it's like every time I see it, I'm just like, oh, fuck, I can't do it. I can't do it right now. I can't do it. I need to like take time and sort of, you know. But again, here's my thing. It's
one
like,
of the things,
who am I to mourn? This is what I'm feeling. You know what I mean? Who am I to mourn?
It's okay. I mean, I think a lot of people feel that way.
I know, too. But I guess we're talking about
it. But we're talking about it, and we're talking about it in a way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know. You know him. You have personal experience with him. You know, it's easy for you to talk about it because you actually have connection. You know, I can only talk about the feeling that I have with this man sort of perishing this way when it seemed like he was just beginning in a strange way.
Yeah.
He accomplished so much at the age of 41, but it was almost like, okay, that was the beginning. And now you're about to do like real work. You know what I mean? Like he had such a global impact. He had such a platform and was prepared to do amazing, amazing things.
Yeah, he was more than prepared. We actually did a panel for the Wall Street Journal and together, and we had some great conversations that night about work. And I think the thing about Kobe is there's an ease about him and the way that he communicates. Beautiful communicator. But he also, you know, I think off the court where he was now, and I remember leaving the last time I saw him and talking with him and, you know, just in, you know, we just had a nice night and a moment. And I remember leaving and I said to Danny, he's in such a great place because his family, he felt so blessed and he was very, so excited about his future and the animation and his production company and the things he wanted to do. And I think the thing that it makes us so sad for so many of us, tragic, is that we knew that he was in the next chapter of his life and that he would have achieved great things. And I believe that in his name, that there will be continued mm-hmm. great things. That the family will continue that. That's what the legacy he will leave. And I know just by the moments that we've had together that his real legacy was for his kids. And that was what he wanted to share. It's what he wanted to talk about. You know, and look, you know, he knew his power and he was aware of it and he was getting to that age where he harnessed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that and he was, you know, I guess like you try to see the silver lining and things. This makes me really emotional, but you try to see the silver lining and things. I try to, and I will say that he did feel the last time he felt like he was in a beautiful place. And, and that there was more calm in his life. And mm-hmm. so he, you know, look, we're LA kids. He was our LA mm-hmm. hero. And
yeah, I was there like, for his first championship. I was at the arena.
He was just the man.
I was there, you know, for two
even
of
when
them.
He pissed people off. Like it was Kobe. It was
oh man, the Kobe. Like, the Kobe haters were rampant amongst many of my friends too, and oh god, I loved
sports,
him.
Though. That's
I
sports. Loved that's what. That's him. The name of the game.
I loved him. I loved his attitude. I loved his fucking intimidation. I loved his.
You loved
fuck you,
his,
asshole on the court. Like, come mama. Get me, shit. I mean, that was it. His scowl, you know. He was the man. I mean, he was the man. You know, it's a way. He was someone to emulate. 100%.
He played for Los Angeles his entire career. He never left us. He was committed to the Lakers. He has been a hero in our community. He's done a lot of great work inside of it. He will be really missed. And his daughter was a beauty, and she loved her daddy. And she, you know, and I think that when you grow up in this town, when you grow up, if you're a basketball fan, anybody, you know, these are people that you know, you see their kids grow up. I understand because, you know, I know when you walk down the street and you meet someone you don't know and they're like, oh, wow, that's Ryder. Ryder's so big. And you're like, oh, you know, but like, you know, we've seen Kobe have his children and we've seen them on the court. We've seen them at the celebrations and so we feel connected to them and I think that he will be missed and she will be missed. So I think that when you know, I think as people who have a platform ourselves as like our, you know, our show, to be able to just share our support and love and to let them know that we're just thinking of them along with everybody else. You know, our whole podcast is about family and everything that we do is talking about family. And we have interviewed people that have had real tragedy in their life. I mean, our first one, Chelsea, you know, losing her brother. I mean, I think, you know, these tragedies, they happen. There is a healing process that can go on. It takes a lot of time. It also takes a lot of love and it takes a lot of support. And I think that, you know, collectively just you and I acknowledging that, you know, that we're a part of this community that mourns with everybody. Mm-hmm.
These tragedies happen. Again, it's like you said, all over the world. I mean, they're probably happening right now as we speak. An icon died tragically. There's also, you know, a sort of a call to love. Love the people in your life now.
Protect
because
them.
You don't know when it can all fucking go away.
Yeah.
You just don't know. You know what I mean? That's it. I mean, for me, that's what I take from this. Love right now. Don't hold off. And when we're talking about siblings and sibling revelry and the things that we do, you know, we've had a lot of people email us about how they have not connected with their siblings in a long time. They haven't talked to them in 5 years. I'm hearing it so much now through my Instagram and through our submissions email. What the fuck are you waiting for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This can happen. What's going to happen if someone goes like this quickly? Are you going to have regrets? You know, reach out, like love each other right now because who the fuck knows? We don't know. We think that our superstars are invincible. If there was any invincible human being on this earth, it might have been Kobe Bryant. I mean, when you just look at him and his shine and his, he's just the most charismatic, wonderful person who is destined to do even more amazing things.
And
then
was,
boom.
It was wild too.
It doesn't make sense. So love right now.
Right.
Do it now. Don't wait. Fucking go. You know?
These are all people that were putting their children before anything. They were people who their children had passions, they wanted to be there for them, they wanted to support them, and they loved and were passionate about the game, and they supported each other. And I think there's I think that's, there's something to in that, which is that, you know, when you look at Kobe, you know, Kobe, everything was about getting home to make sure he could do school drop off or getting home to be with his kids. You know, this was his, this was something he held in as a priority. And I just look at this as the great lesson of everything we do in life. We need to put in the time and the focus and the dedication, like someone like Kobe, in everything that he did, whether it was his work, whether it was his children, and living in that moment. He talked about greatness once, and I was listening to this, and what he said is, he said, I think greatness is about how you affect the person sitting next to you. And I loved that because it took it out of how people see him, which is that, you know, he affects so many people, but in his mind, it was about who's sitting to his left or who's sitting to his right. And how does he impact that person's life? How can you impact that person's life? And I think that if we're going to honor him in any way, it's that we all know we are capable of that kind of greatness. And I just wish he had more time to share his, you know, his abilities with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we love him.
Love Kobe.
And I think that, you know, he will live on. He has to. It's mm-hmm. just his way. It's just who he is. He will, I know he's going to send messages left, right, and center. And I think that Staples Center is going to feel it all the time. And his children will feel it even more. And I know Vanessa is a strong, strong woman.
Yeah.
Anyway, sending love to all the families.
Love you, Kobe B. I worry about it.
Well, no, you're with everybody else. I mean, I'm sorry, but look, I mean, I know what you're feeling right yeah. now, yeah, but I think. Well, I know, but who
people are gonna listen to him and be like,
no, but it's more of the reminder of like this.
It's not about who am I. It's about the impact that tragedy, no matter who, and in this particular situation, it is something that has completely paralyzed so many people for a real reason. And I think that it, you know, we don't, again, it's not lost on us mm-hmm. that tragedy happens every day and it's terrible, but the legends, like I was saying, like we look up to people for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain people who come into this earth that are, we feel and we know they're here for a reason. And we can't put our finger on it sometimes. But then when they're taken away like this, it's shocking. And it's not about
right.
like, who am I?
Yeah.
You're impacted by this.
Like yeah.
everyone else. I mean, we walked around the day that Kobe passed away.
I know, but okay.
And it was like
I know, sorry, yeah.
everybody that you looked at. I sat and I was watching. I went to go to the movies. We had tickets to the movie the night before. Danny's like, we should get out of the house. Let's just get out of the house. I was a mess. I mean, for so many reasons, right? And I went to the movies and I sat and I just happened to walk in and like Demi Lovato is the Grammys night. It's just like, how does life go on? How do we go on when something like this happens? But I'm sitting there and I just started to like cry watching this Demi just sing a beautiful song. And I looked and this woman was sitting next to me and she worked at the movie theater and we're just staring at it. We're both crying our eyes out. And she just went, well, I needed that today. And I said, me too. And we connected because there is it affected
mm-hmm.
everybody. It doesn't matter if you knew him. It doesn't matter if you didn't know him. It hit a core for so many people. And I think it's important to talk about these things.
Yeah, no, I understand.
You're saying, like, it's love is everything.
I understand, but my thing is why do people care what I think? That's where I'm at. Like, we're doing this podcast, and I look, Kobe Bryant was a hero of mine. I can't say an idol because I was a little older, but he's just was the man. who cares what I have to think? That's where I'm at.
When
that's
we
where
sat
I'm at with it. That's why it's hard for me.
Do you remember when we sat courtside?
Oh, yeah.
And we went?
Yeah.
Remember? Kobe was playing?
Yeah. I remember. Yeah.
What did that feel like to see him play?
Oh, my God. I mean, I was fortunate enough to sit in seats on the court a few times. There was a time I sat next to him on the bench because there was a bench. He sat in a specific seat every time that he came off the floor. And it was at the end of the bench towards, you know, where everyone is. And I was sitting right next to him. So when they had huddles, I would listen in. And I mean, it was fucking genius. He was a genius. I mean, there was, you know, it was the man. He was the man.
What did you love about his scowl?
I think because there were, you know, if you look at some of the ballers today, you look at LeBron, you know, Steph Curry, and they are beloved sort of by everybody. There are LeBron haters, you know, here and there, but for the most part, everyone loves LeBron. You know, everyone loves Steph. We're in a love fest now, mm-hmm. in the NBA. You know, everyone loves Kawhi. I mean, the guy's awesome. Yay. But Kobe was not loved by everyone. Kobe was hated probably by more people than he was loved, as far as on the basketball court. And I loved that. I loved that people didn't like him, and I loved why they didn't like him.
Why?
The reason that people didn't love him is why I loved him.
Tell me.
Because he gave the middle finger to everyone else. He was like, fuck off, basically. I don't care that you don't love me. Here's how I play ball. And that's really all that matters. You know what I mean? I'm not worried about sort of my image with you people, with the fans. You know? I care about my image in the community. And I care about who I am as a basketball player on the court, and I'm a motherfucker on the court. I am ruthless. I will rip your throat out. I don't give a shit. That's the Jordan-esque vibe. And he had that Jordan thing, you know, where he was just a killer, you know, and I loved that. I loved how he sort of dealt with adversity, you know. Probably something that, you know, I wish that I had in myself, where it's like, you can hate me. That doesn't affect me. It actually fuels me. Keep hating. You know, keep hating me. That's gas on the fire, you know? And that's what that scowl was. It was like, he sort of put his gums up. You know, he put his lip up and his gums. He was just like, like, you know, it just feels good to flip you the middle finger, you know, with a game-winning shot or a jumper, an impossible jumper. That's what I loved about Kobe. By the way, that happened in the beginning. That wasn't a learned fire. That fire has to happen from the beginning. I remember, when he was a rookie. You know, he didn't even start that much, but I forget the game, but he had a game where he just shit the bed, just hoisted up shots, fucking missing shots. He didn't give a shit. The next game, he's right there battling again, doing it. He didn't care. He didn't care what people were saying. He knew his greatness. He believed in his greatness so much so that throw him up, fail. Doesn't matter. You know, just wait. You know, boo all you want. You know, call me whatever you want. But just give it a minute and then you'll eat your words, but I don't need to say it. You can quietly eat your words while I become the greatest basketball player ever to walk the planet, you know?
Yeah.
I like that.
I think too, you know, he then, human and, you know, young, went through moments that he even said, you know, could have made better decisions. But where he was at now,
was a place that I think a lot of us really looked forward to, because there was a, like, people would say to him all the time, like, aren't you going to miss basketball? Like, you're going to want to come, you're going to retire, you're going to come back. And in his mind, it was like, I'm going to move on. I'm going to do other things. Mm-hmm. And the fierce competitor in him not only knew that about himself, but when that day came, that's who he was. His life changed directions. Always basketball. I mean, it's his love. But I mean, he had so many interests. And you know, you hear a lot of stories about, you know, people talking about him now and honoring him about how his curiosity. And he really was. I mean, you know, any moment I had with Kobe was always filled with curiosity and engagement, very engaged, asking more questions than answering them. Almost to the point where sometimes you'd be put off, taken out off guard, because it was like, oh, how is he so interested in my boring life? Mm-hmm. Like, your life is way more exciting than mine. Mm-hmm. You know, and your ability, I mean, God, but he just was a mind expander.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just you know, they say in grief that you should talk about the people. And that they say that the best healing is to always, if you want to talk about people like they're still here, if you need to talk about them, that you just do it. And that you always keep them alive. And I think that not only should we keep talking about Kobe, should we keep honoring him and his family, and Gianna and the families that lost their lives, but we understand that that is going to be a part of all of everybody's healing process. You know, we need to, you keep these people alive because they are alive inside of us. And same with all of the kids that are hurting, and scared. You know, you just keep there. We're always, as a parent too, you do think about these things, you know. All you want as a parent when you go is to know that your kids are okay. So to the kids, you know, all your parents want is to for you to know that you're in there, that you're there. Mm-hmm. And that even if you're not there in the tangible form, that you are living in them every day. And that you're there. And I think that and that they feel that love. They don't feel abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if there's anything, you know, that you could say to the kids, and is that would make your parents happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, we experience these tragedies, we live through them, and one day they become our own tragedies, because we all meet the same path. We all die, and some people just unfortunately sooner than others, but that we live fully and keeping the people that impact us always around us.
Mm-hmm.
Am I talking too much? Making sense?
You're good. It's okay. Good. It's good. It's good. It's good. All right. Well,
anyway, I love you.
I love you.
And I know everybody out there, you know, we love you. And
Kobe, I love you. RIP. 24/8.
Kobe.
24 hours a day, 8 days a week.
And
that's how he lived. That was his work ethic.
I pray and I visualize, you know, all of those families protecting each other and them protecting their families now.
Mm-hmm.
And now those families have the most powerful angels.
Yep.
And, you know, may we just pray and send love.